Welcome to day 14 of Happier People. Today, I ask, is the moon a Death Star? The whole point of this episode is to investigate having an open mind and to see the benefits that come with not immediately rejecting new ideas. Most of us, I feel, are programmed that we immediately reject anything new. For example, for me, when I'm listening to a song on the radio, a new song, my first thought is usually no. My mind only seems to trust things that I've already heard before, regardless to whether they're correct or not, or regardless to whether they're the best for me. My mind usually would prefer to listen to a song I've already heard before versus a new song, even if the new song is more fun than the old one, even if I like the new song better than the old one. It tends to be very rare that I just latch on to a new idea. I think this is a fear programming, that we're afraid of being gullible. We're afraid of being able to just latch on to a new idea because at some point we did that and someone tricked us and made us feel ashamed. And then we've been set on our path since then that we will carefully investigate and push out any new ideas until we allow them in. In other words, our closed-mindedness is a reflection of our way of living life armored up. We go around and try and let the world bounce off of us, feeling that there's some part of us that needs to be protected underneath our armor. I've found that in order for me to fully live my life, I had to drop my armor and allow the world to influence me. Now, the trick is, to me, to do this on a good day. Because I feel like a lot of us are more open-minded when we're desperate and we're in a bad situation. And the problem is that we become open-minded then in the wrong ways. For example, if you're having some health issues, often this will promote some open-mindedness, but it often may promote the open-mindedness in a way that's not productive in the long term. For example, if you're sick, you might be open to trying some new cold medicine, but as soon as you start feeling better, you're now closed to changing your diet in a way that will help prevent you from getting sick to start with. So this is the same thing with alcoholics. I drank so much, and then when I was hung over, I would be open to doing something different. So I wouldn't drink usually that day again, but as soon as I felt better, all I could think about was getting the positive things out of alcohol and doing it the same way again. As soon as I recovered from the hangover, I quickly started to forget my motivation to change, and it was more important to just stay the same. If you have an addiction, it's absolutely essential to open your mind and to allow some new concepts in. I tried to quit drinking a whole bunch of times, and as long as I kept doing it the same way, it wasn't going to work. I finally went to Alcoholics Anonymous and listened over and over for months just in order to get a handful of different strategies to use when I was trying to stay sober. For example, to pray when I was thinking about a drink instead of to just judge and condemn myself. Oh, here you go, wanting another drink again. God. To say, God help me stay sober instead of when having a, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to have a drink? Oh, God help me stay sober. Now, that's a little difference, but a huge difference than having that thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to go have a drink? No, you can't go have a drink today. Remember, you wrecked everyone's lives and you're miserable and you're going to die if you do that. And then the conversation usually turns into, ah, screw it, I don't care, I'm going to have a drink. Whereas praying, God help me stay sober, then the drink looks a little less attractive after that. Going back to the original title of this episode now, after I've talked about having an open mind, here's a chance to test whether you have an open mind or not. I've found the funny thing for me is I think I'm open-minded until there's actually a test. And then, man, my mind shuts rapidly. As soon as something suggested, well, nope, that can't be true. Nope, I know. Nope, that's not how it is. Is the moon a Death Star? I was watching an episode on Ancient Aliens called Space Station Moon last night, and wow, it is good. Do you know the moon is or is not an artificial satellite? See, I don't know one way or the other. I don't know. I've never been to the moon. I haven't even learned very much about the moon. I've went through most of my life assuming that the moon came from Earth, or that the moon was captured in Earth's orbit, and that the moon was simply a natural object that formed as a result of the solar system somehow. In other words, I thought I knew about the moon. And yet there were a few questions that bothered me. Why did we get in such an excited state in the 60s, late 60s and early 70s to go to the moon? We got in this huge state of excitement, like, we're going to go to the moon, we're going to go to the moon. And then the U.S. sent several missions to the moon, and then no one's been back since then. Why didn't Russia send their own spaceship over to the moon? Why hasn't another country, or why hasn't the U.S. sent a ship back to go to the moon? That just doesn't make sense. There's this huge wave of exploration, and then all of a sudden, it's as if someone said, stop going there. It's as if there's some secret order where whoever makes the decisions about going to the moon was told, don't go back there. You stay away from there for now. I was baffled by this. Why does it seem like we're going forward in all aspects of technology except our space program? Our space program seems like it hasn't went anywhere in 40 years. Now that's weird, isn't it? I just saw some more data about the moon that they presented on Ancient Aliens. Now I don't know if this is correct or I don't know if this is perfect, but what I thought of the moon before clearly was pretty bad. What I thought the moon was before was either some satellite captured in orbit, so something that was flying through the solar system, and then Earth just snagged it up in orbit, and that's the moon. Or the other theory is that a planet the size of Mars hit Earth, and then the two combined into the moon and Earth. Now, both of these have gigantic problems with them. First, for an object the size of the moon to be captured in Earth, according to physics, it doesn't work very well. I've taken up through a little bit of physics for engineering in college, so I'm no physics expert. The experts that are physicists full-time say that it's almost impossible to figure out exactly how the moon would have got trapped in Earth's orbit, given its size, given how close it's orbiting to Earth. It just doesn't seem like that's how it would have been formed. And the other way, with a planet slamming into the Earth, seems kind of ridiculous in a sense that would have needed to have happened a really long time ago. And the odds, what are the odds of two planets colliding together at such perfect speed and timing and to make the moon? You'd literally have to say that was an act of God to line them up perfectly so that would happen. That's a pretty ridiculous theory as far as how the moon got here. Now, how about this one? The moon also is exactly 400 times smaller than the sun. And conveniently, the moon is also 400 times closer to Earth than the sun. Why is it the moon provides a perfect solar eclipse? The odds of that being natural are ridiculous. The moon is in the exact right position to totally eclipse the sun. That means when the moon goes around, it completely blocks out the sun. Now, it doesn't blot out the sun the way, if there was a much bigger moon, it'd completely blot it out. It provides a perfect solar eclipse. It exactly slips into view of the sun. It's incredibly precise. And on top of that, the moon does not rotate. The same side of the moon faces Earth at all times. These are facts that pretty much everyone can agree on as far as I can see. The moon does not rotate. The same side of it faces the Earth at all times. Have you heard the phrase dark side of the moon? That's because there's a side of the moon that is never seen from Earth. There could be anything on the backside of the moon. No one's seen it. When you look at the moon, all you can see is the front, essentially. Why doesn't the moon rotate? Why is the moon stuck and it just sits there and rotates on the same axis? The Earth rotates. The moon's exactly synced up with Earth so that it rotates in a way that its face faces the Earth. It's as if there's a front and a back to it, and the front needs to be towards Earth, and the back is the business end where anything could go on back there and no one would see it on Earth. There could be a huge Death Star thing back there. There could be a huge happening spaceport back there, and you wouldn't be able to see it on Earth. Isn't that incredible? Now, some more facts about the moon. The moon, one of the three main ingredients on the moon is titanium. Why would the moon be made of titanium? That sounds like something you'd make a spaceship out of. Now, let's think of it this way. If you wanted to make a gigantic space station that would last millions of years in space, what would you want to make it out of? You would want to make it out of titanium, given titanium's properties, and you can see this on Wikipedia, for handling heat and for resisting shock, things like craters hitting the moon. Titanium would be the perfect thing to make something like the moon out of. If it was natural and if it came from Earth. So the first theory they have is if the moon captured as a satellite in Earth's orbit, then Earth and the moon could theoretically be made out of totally different things. That would make sense. However, that seems like a very unlikely explanation with our understanding of physics. Now, the main theory currently we seem to be working on is that Earth was hit by a Mars-sized object. If that's the case, then the moon should be made out of the same stuff that Earth is. And that means the moon should have pretty much the same consistency as Earth when you go take a look at it. But it doesn't. It doesn't look like it's made from the same things Earth is. It's got titanium and a couple of other elements that are just perfect for making a space station. So those are some of the facts with the moon, and here's a couple more. The moon appears to be hollow. The craters on the moon have this weird property. So on Earth, there's craters, and some of them go fantastically deep. The craters have different depths. On the moon, the craters all have the same depth. In other words, there are no deep craters on the moon. There are wide craters on the moon, but there aren't any deep ones. You would think the moon being in space so long, you would think the moon would have got hit at some point by some huge or larger thing that would leave at least one huge deep crater in it. And this can easily be seen as well. The moon has uniform depth craters. Now that's really weird. A planet like Earth, it gets hit with things. It has some massively crazy deep craters. The moon doesn't have any. It's as if there's some kind of shield or hard something in it that stops the craters from going past a certain depth. And that would make sense if it's hollow. If the moon's hollow and it has some kind of hard underside or some rubbery thing to bounce the craters out a bit, then it would make sense. If it's hollow and it was artificially designed, that it doesn't have any massively deep craters. And one more thing, NASA, when they dropped the lunar landing vehicle off, when they, whatever you call it, they took back off into space when they took off the moon, In order to launch off, they had a launch vehicle. They dropped the launch vehicle once the astronauts were back into space. And the moon rang like it'd been hit by a bell. As if you rang a bell. You went and hit a bell and rang it. Now that is something that would be expected if it's hollow, and especially if it's artificial. Not to be expected if it's natural. It wouldn't ring. It would simply drop in and be absorbed into the mass of the planet. It wouldn't ring back and forth. And apparently the second time they tested a bigger landing vehicle to drop back on it, and it rang for 3 hours like a gong. That seems weird, doesn't it? These are facts that have been shown in the course of studying the moon. These are things you can go look up. And the question then is, what is helpful to believe? Is it helpful to believe that we're the only ones out there, that we're all alone? Look who's all alone now. It's from a Kesha song. Is it helpful to believe we're all alone and that somehow we are so smart as we can figure out how the moon got here and that it's not artificial? Is that helpful to believe that we're all alone? Or is it helpful to believe that it's possible there is some kind of life that is so smart, so intelligent, and so advanced that it intentionally brought the moon to Earth? Like the Death Star from Star Wars. If you haven't seen Star Wars, the Death Star is a gigantic moon-like. In fact, it looks almost the same without the craters. It is a space station that's like a little moon. In fact, they use the exact phrase in Star Wars about it looking like a moon. Hello? Is that helpful to believe? Is it helpful to believe that there's an artificial space station orbiting our planet right now and we're all looking at it and most hardly anyone realizes it? Oh, another little trivia. The ancient texts say that there was a time before there was a moon on Earth and that the moon was towed or pulled here by the gods or the star beings. And it was put here to keep an eye on us. Now, to me, that seems like helpful to believe. It seems helpful to believe that the moon is sitting here by some higher power, some power way higher than me. It's sitting here watching us, and it sits there in plain view for everyone to see all around the world all the time. And when you look up in the sky, you know there is a giant space station sitting there protecting your planet from things that might happen. Does that bring a little bit of peace of mind? I think it does. To me today, I try and have an open mind and then choose beliefs that are helpful. I think it's helpful to see demonstrated evidence of a vastly higher power every night looking up in the sky. To me, it's not helpful to look up and just see the moon as some rock floating around that we're so smart we can explain exactly how it got there and why it's right there. I like the idea that, hey, life is full of itself all over the universe, and we're not the very first intelligent species in the whole galaxy. In fact, we're far from the first. We're probably created from earlier life, and whatever higher power there is sitting there watching us right now from the moon, just like in so many sci-fi theories. So today I pray to remember my lessons learned in considering whether the Death Star is a moon or the moon is a Death Star. I pray today to continue to go forward and have an open mind so that I may receive new beliefs that are helpful for me and allow my old beliefs that are not helpful to be replaced by newer ones. Thank you very much for listening to this with me today. It's Thanksgiving. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving or any time after, I hope you have a great day today.